Hi, my name's Michael Tharp. I love to teach people about the power of real money, their mindset to escape the matrix.
Welcome to the Discover.com podcast, where we look at the communities, businesses, attractions, and people that make up Montcalm County. Here's your podcast host, Dwayne Weed.
Hello, my name is Dwayne, host and producer of the Discover.com podcast, and as you heard, we're going to be talking about money. And maybe a few other things. Mike, thank you so much for coming up here and, you know, talking about what you do. You and I met at the Greenville YouTube creators group, and we do videos, we do that type of thing. And then as I got talking to you, I said, oh, he does a whole lot more. I think he'd be great to have on the podcast. So thank you for taking the time.
Definitely. Great to connect with you, Dwayne, especially in Montcalm County, you know. Creators are a little hard to come by. You know, you go to Grand Rapids or Detroit, you might find some more. So always good to connect with people. And shout out to Ben for starting that community and kind of bringing us together.
Let's talk your story for a minute. Let's go back to your early years. You know, where did you grow up? And, you know, let's talk about young Mike for a minute.
Yeah, so I was born in Royal Oak, Madison Heights area in Detroit Metro, and my parents' family had come from the hills of Kentucky and southern Tennessee up during the auto boom to get jobs in the Detroit area. But we moved there quickly. I moved away at 6 years old, but still have a lot of family there, so I grew up and went back to actually Carson City.
Okay.
And of course, I'm like, where? Well, I'm like, Nevada? We're going to Nevada?
Yeah, this plains.
So my dad was a public school teacher at Carson City for, I don't know, 20, 30 years or so, teaching Spanish and English. His nickname was El Farpo. So a lot of kids remember him from that. So yeah, I grew up in Carson City from 6 to my senior year and went to Fellowship Baptist Academy. I went to private Christian schools my whole life. But yeah, you know, enjoyed the time there. It was, you know, sheltered, which some people say is a good thing. Some people say it's a bad thing, but for me, you know, great upbringing, played a lot of sports, basketball and soccer are my favorite. So,
well, because we're Discover.com, what era are we in when you moved up here?
Yep.
We're in the '80s.
So I would have moved up here in like 1985.
Okay.
And I didn't leave Carson until like 96, 97.
Okay. So because we are Discover.com, tell me, what was it like in Carson City? Now, you come from somewhere else, but growing up, you're basically more of your educational childhood was here. Right. What was Carson City like back then?
I mean, obviously very rural. You know, we lived about 2 miles outside of town, so grew up really close to the Wilson Dairy Farm, so spent a lot of time there. So I kind of got that, you know, country upbringing, you know, hunting, just really safe hometown, you know.
Right.
There wasn't even a McDonald's there. There wasn't a Subway. So, you know, the big city was Greenville. Like, Friday night, kids, we're going to Meijer.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to go to Ponderosa, get a steak.
Yeah. I grew up in the big metropolis of Morley, and it was Big Rapids for us.
Right.
Same type of thing. Ponderosa maybe for a steak. They'd go to, I think, Meijer wasn't there at that time. There were some other supermarkets that were there. So that came later in the Big Rapids history. But we're not in Mecosta County. We're in Montcalm right now. So you graduated from Carson City.
So actually, crazy.
Or no, in Baptist.
Yeah. Fellowship. So my senior year was a big deal because Fellowship at that time kind of had a lot of people leave. And so me and my sister actually, I went to Oakfield Baptist Academy in Greenville my senior year.
Okay.
My sister was a freshman then. So I drove 45 minutes every morning and, you know, playing sports. It was hanging out after people's houses.
Yep.
And that's kind of really where the first time I got to be around people of wealth. You know, not a lot in Carson City. Yep. West side of Greenville's, you know. Yeah. Getting a little bit better closer to Rockford and Grand Rapids. So I made a lot of connections there that helped kind of like open my mind and introduce me to stuff that had never really been exposed before.
Well, we all seem to hit that at one point. And I know your opening, we talked about money, and we'll get there because you're going to talk about real money. You're going to talk about things that you've got involved with. But leaving as a senior, where was your next little jump in your history? And because you've done some other things before you're doing what you're doing now. So kind of give us that little springboard into things.
Yeah, so graduate from Oakfield in 97, and I actually played soccer at Cedarville for 2 years. Cedarville University, it's near Dayton, Ohio, so it's a kind of like cornerstone private yep. Christian college. So I went there for 4 years, got my degree in social studies, RX it's called. So I did history, government, economics, which is a big passion for me to become a teacher. And had a great time there, came back to Michigan, and then that kind of starts a new chapter in my life. In 2021, I have my teaching degree. I'm back in Grand Rapids,
now,
living
21?
With some friends. I'm sorry, 2001.
2001, okay. Can I was gonna say, wait a minute. Okay, so 2001, yep. you're now
you've graduated, got the degree? 4-year degree, back in Grand Rapids, and I remember it to this day. I'm at Ken ISD. Filling out my paperwork to become a sub. I'm looking for jobs.
Right.
That day, 9/11 happens.
Oh.
I'm in the meeting.
You know, they say there's certain things that yep. we will always remember. I remember the moon landing because of my age. But I also remember 9/11.
Yep.
You know, and so we all have these things that in our life, we can put our finger on things and say, where were you?
Yep.
You know, and also the shuttle when it blew up.
Yeah.
You know, there's things there. So 9/11 happened. You're filling out the paperwork.
And
let's go.
So I didn't know the effect it would have on me. But of course, you know, the stock market goes down. All the teachers that were hoping to retire in the next few years, they see their 401ks tank. So like, and history is already a hard job to get as a teacher. So like people just stop retiring. And there's like no jobs, you know, like I remember one time I applied at somewhere in West Michigan, like a super small district, and they had 130 applicants
wow.
for this one job.
Well,
position.
We experienced something we had never experienced in our country.
Yeah.
So uncertainty is, so you get through that little, we all have speed bumps. That was a speed bump. So you're now, you're still wanting to teach.
Yep. So the next 5 years or so, I was a substitute teacher, and it was really cool to be able to see all of West Michigan. I've probably subbed everywhere within 100 miles.
Okay.
Because sometimes I would be in Greenville with my parents, so then I'd be going to Central Montcalm and Carson and Ionia and Belding.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I was in Grand Rapids, and I would be going to
those schools.
All over Caledonia, Rockford, you know, Cedar. So I got to see all the school districts, how they were ran, and I'll probably talk more about this later, but that's really one of the reasons I came back to Greenville, because I had seen all these different districts, and I really liked just the setup for Greenville and their school, and I wanted
okay.
my kids to go there.
Okay. So when were you hired at Greenville? Or was there a,
yeah, so
a
kind
job
of a,
before Greenville?
Yeah, intermediate period of I have like 5 years of I'm substitute teaching. I'm working in restaurants in Greenville, networking with a lot of, meeting a lot of cool people at Fridays, Olive Garden, Applebee's. And then I go back to get my master's in special education.
Okay.
Because at this time, that was basically it. Like if you weren't a special ed teacher, there's no jobs for anybody. Hmm. So I get my master's in Grand Valley in special ed while I'm doing that. Finally get in at Grand Rapids Public in 2006 at Riverside Middle, taught there for 3 years. And then was at Ottawa Hills High School in Grand Rapids in 2009. And 2009, 2010 kind of starts a new beginning for me because I get married in 2009. I start teaching in Greenville in 2010.
Okay.
Have my first son 2010 and my second son 2012.
Okay.
So that kind of ended that period of kind of uncertainty. You know, and well, I get a real job, kind of step into real life.
Yeah, you're accomplishing that goal that you had set. And actually, in 2010, I was there at Greenville.
Yes, I remember.
Doing the seventh-hour program with all of the in the auditorium and that type of thing, we were teaching multi-camera production, which was a lot of fun. I mean, yep. I really enjoyed it. It was running this and doing that whenever they'd have special events. And, you know, kind of got my fingers into teaching a little bit. And watching the light bulb go off, that must be a sense of pride, even as, you know, for yourself when you were teaching, when the kids all of a sudden go, "Ooh, I get it."
Yeah, definitely. You know, I love being a teacher. I still think I am a teacher, just in a different avenue today. But yeah, there's nothing better. And especially in special education, it's a lot more targeted. You get to work with students more one-on-one and, you know, test where they're at, and then you can actually see them make that progress. So I really enjoy that aspect of teaching.
And the teaching took you from what period? Because you've since retired from teaching. You started here, you retired from the school in what year?
Yeah, so started in 2010, and that year I actually started a little side DJ business. I'm semi-retired with it, but it was a lot of fun. I was the in-house DJ at a place called McFadden's that's since gone, and got to do a lot of the snow coming and homecoming. So a lot of the kids from Greenville know me as like DJ Tharp.
Yeah.
So it was fun to, you know, they saw me in a different light, and I got to, you know, play all the music they like for all their, you know, high school stuff. So, taught in Greenville until 2020. And that's kind of when, you know, the pandemic hits. We go, you know, we end school that year in like March or April. And then when we came back in the fall, it was, you know,
it was different.
That's kind of when I started my online journey. And, you know, I just couldn't really handle being in that school environment with where the regulations were at that time.
Okay. Well, now that we've come to kind of a transition into why you're here today, I mean, I like to get the backstory, but we're going to talk with Mike more about real money right after this.
The Discover Montcalm podcast thanks West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions and 106.3 WGLM, DW Video, Blueberry Podcast Platform, and Business Growth Engine. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the Discover Montcalm podcast. We left learning Mike's story. Now we're going to dive into why he's on the podcast today. Because as he said, he was an educator, always an educator. Now he picked a different topic. So in 2020, you retired and you started doing some online stuff. Let's start there.
So it kind of goes back to my love of history. I still remember, I thought about this week, is I would literally watch Ross Perot in 92 do his little info commercials with his graphs. And I'm like, this guy just makes sense.
Right.
You know, and that kind of woke me up. And then I was a big fan of Ron Paul, who kind of had the same message of the real money is the problem, right? The Federal Reserve, the dollar, inflation, all of that. So that really got me excited about teaching that, because I think a lot of the struggles we still have today, it's not a left and right issue. It's a real money issue.
Okay.
And then I got into buying silver when I learned that education. And then I found out about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in 2017. And it was around that time my dad retired from teaching. And I kind of remember thinking, like, I don't want to wait until I'm 62, 65 to like live life on my own terms, travel, spend more time with my kids, because, you know, I was a coach as well. So like, I mean, I would get up at 6 and I really wouldn't get home till 5 or 6 o'clock. And then you got like maybe 2-3 hours with the boys and then you do it all over again.
Yep.
So I remember during this time of like 2017, 2018, it's like, I got to find a way out. I don't know what it is. So, you know, I'm just online every day, like, how do you make money online? How do you, you know, what's the best side hustle? And I kind of accidentally fell into network marketing with silver. There was this little startup company that delivered silver to your door every month, like an auto ship. And I just started making YouTube videos about it, and cryptocurrency as well. One of the courses I took for teaching was how to do YouTube. And that was probably the most important class I ever took. I think it cost me $100.
Yeah.
But totally transformed. And I used that in my teaching as well, of making videos and doing online stuff with Moodle when I was at Greenville. So, you know, I just make a video like, hey, have silver delivered to your door. It's like $20 an ounce then.
Yep.
And I remember I got to the point where I was getting 2 free ounces of silver a month from like people using my link or whatever. And I thought I had made it. I'm like, are you kidding me?
But it was a start.
No, but I really thought I had made it.
Okay.
Like, I'm getting 2 ounces of silver for free every month. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. I can't believe more people don't do this.
Okay.
Because I don't care what the dollar price of silver is, right? For me, getting 2 ounces of silver for free every month is massive because I understand the long-term effects of real money and how it holds its
value.
Because
it's a marathon,
exactly,
not a race.
Right.
So you've started that. 2020, you retire, and you'd already been doing some online stuff. So do you want to start from 2020 till now? Because you've done some things. I mean, from talking to you in the past, you're evolving. I mean, you're not just sitting still. I mean, you're trying to be up on things, and your education, wanting to be an educator, you are an educator, you're helping people. So can you kind of walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, and so I guess this is where I would want to kind of wake people up about real money and why it matters. So in my opinion, and a lot of scholarly research, is silver has been undervalued and taken out of circulation going back to the 1840s and the Opium War. So okay. When England was kind of, you know, controlling China and bringing in opium, most of the time the only way to get opium was silver. They didn't want anything else. So the UK kind of withdrew all that silver. Then I call it the crime of 1873, we have the Coinage Act passed. And that basically went from bimetallism, meaning gold and silver, to just gold. Because gold was kind of like the East Coast elite New York.
Okay.
Bankers wanted gold, whereas the more rural, poor farmers wanted silver. And then I always love to talk about the election of 1896. That says William McKinley versus William Jennings Bryan. And the entire election came down to, are we going to use silver as real money?
Okay.
And if you adjust election spending for, you know, inflation, 1896 is still the election with the most money spent in it. Because
okay.
The powers that be wanted to get silver out of the hands of ordinary people. So this is when William Jennings Bryan gives his very famous Cross of Gold speech. Of course, Jennings was, you know, poor, more from out west. The farmers supported him. McKinley had all the big interests, the big bankers, and he, you know, crushes them. And that was kind of like basically the end of silver in America until 1986 when Reagan brings it back.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's my passion of teaching people about the power of real money. And then we have August 15th, 1971, Richard Nixon closes the gold window. And if you look at almost all the problems we face today, inflation, unemployment, you know, factories leaving, which we've dealt with a lot in Montcalm, you know, kind of the issues with less children, housing inflation, it almost every graph, everything's fine until that day when basically our money is backed by nothing and governments, Republicans, Democrats, doesn't really matter, print it like crazy. And so the inflation we're seeing today, the struggle, the poverty, I think all comes back to the question of what is real money? And what can we do about it to stop it?
Okay. Along the way, there was a Neville that probably shaped how you think.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that.
So in 2017, 2018, right, I'm going through this transition of, you know, trying to find money online. Kind of my divorce is starting in 2020. And so I'm going through a very transitional period in time. And so I'm looking... and kind of learning a lot about the law of frequency, the law of vibration. A lot of people, I kind of incorrectly coin it as manifestation. And you see a lot of misrepresentation on that online as everyone says, oh, I just manifested and it happens. Mm-hmm. And so I started to dig deeper into that. And a lot of people think it's antithetical to like biblical belief or more of a fundamental Christian. And I discovered this teacher named Neville Goddard, who kind of traveled around and just gave speeches from like the 1930s to 1970s. He's all over YouTube. But listening to him and kind of another book, Richard Rohr, Falling Upward, really helped me kind of transition into what you call the second stage of life. And understanding like the power of your mind, the power of your will. Joe Dispenza is another great guy who talks about the law of frequency, the law of vibration, mm-hmm. and how your mind shapes the world around you and what you believe that you can do.
Okay.
So I discovering that through Neville Goddard and a little bit of Richard Rohr really changed my entire perspective of the gratitude I have, what I can accomplish. Because most people, like when I tell them I retired at 40, they're like, what? Huh? How?
Yeah.
But it came to finding that information through Neville Goddard and how he basically aligned the law of frequency and vibration with more traditional beliefs. Because he quotes the Bible all the time. But he looks at it in a completely different perspective than your traditional, you know, fundamental Christian would.
Okay. Now that we've been talking about money, how does somebody get in touch with you?
I use Facebook a lot. It is Mike Tharp on Facebook. If you search it, not Michael Tharp. That's my old account. I don't use anymore.
Okay. And spell the last name for those that are listening.
It is very hard. It is misspelled my whole life. So it is T as in Tom, H-A-R-P as in Paul. And sometimes you say T and then harp like an angel plays.
Okay.
And you can also go to my website, michaeltharpedu.com.
Okay.
And so I have some links there and you can get in contact with me there.
How does that work? How does the contact with you happen? You know, because you're in business. I know that you're doing a lot of things to put the word out. But when it comes to helping people directly, walk me through that phase.
Yeah. And let me say this too, just so people are aware, is I get a lot of impersonators and scammers, especially online. So like, you know, they create fake Facebook profiles of me. And this is a lot because I'm in cryptocurrency.
Okay.
Because crypto is like final. Like once you send somebody Bitcoin, there's no going back. If they get your credit card, you can go, hey, that wasn't me. And, you know, Telegram, TikTok. If I message you out of the blue, they're even doing text messages now. So if you get some random message from me, it's probably not me. My inbox is full. It's tough to get to everybody.
You know,
but please just be careful out there, guys. I'm not going to ask you for money. I'll always send you a video. And actually nowadays with AI, you have to put your hand in front of your face to prove it's really you.
Okay.
Because they've actually done that too, is made like a fake AI video of me and send it to people trying to like, you know, scam them or whatever.
Well, shame on them. I mean, that part just really, you know, it's like, okay, you're out here trying to do things the right way. You're trying to help people and there's people taking advantage of that. So once we get past that and we find out that we are talking to the real Mike, walk us through how you help somebody in general. And I'm sure that's a broad question, but just general speaking, what are some of the things that you're going to help them with up front?
Yeah, so kind of my main thing I do every week is my good brother, Ricardo Hamilton, also goes by Mims, Make It Make Sense. He lives in Maryland. Him and I met just randomly online, and we had a lot in common. He would talk about gold, silver, and inflation, and we kind of connected and have done a lot of businesses together. So we do a live like podcast stream every Tuesday at 10:15 p.m.
Okay.
That goes to Facebook and X and YouTube.
And what is the name of that podcast?
Kind of titled The Runners Live. Our team name is kind of The Runners, that just kind of came up organically.
Okay.
Run with the runners, like people that are ready to be serious, grow their business, get real assets. Mm-hmm. Find those people that want to win. You can't drag the people that are walking. You know, if they want to come, they'll eventually pick up the pace whenever they're ready. But just find people that want to change their life, shift their mindset, and get real assets. That was kind of our team motto, if you will. We'll meet up and just kind of talk about where they're at, if I have any solutions that might help them. So
it isn't a one-step program.
No.
You have to get to know where they're at, and then you adapt accordingly.
Yeah, and I would say, this isn't really me saying this, but if you ask kind of people in my community, they would probably say I'm one of the more personal, hands-on leaders in the space. You know, a lot of people now are just into automation, and it's just put them in the funnel CRM and type off my email. All right, there it goes. But I think just my background as a teacher is there really isn't a one size fits all. Now, should everyone get at least 1 ounce of silver a month? Yeah. And that's kind of one of the first steps I would start with them. It's not flashy. It's not sexy. We always say we're not here to get rich quickly. We're here to get wealthy slowly. Now, silver is on sale right now, right? It's like around $60 an ounce. And my whole kind of career of teaching people about it, it was, you know, in the 20s.
Okay.
And then everyone's complaining, oh, silver's boring. It's never going to go up. It's been in the 20s for a decade. And I was like, this is a gift from God.
Yeah.
That the banksters keep the price of it low and we get to stack it up. Because I know the real value of silver is probably close to $1,000.
Okay.
Once the rails are off and all the manipulation ends.
I have a feeling that you and I could talk for a long time, you know, because once we've got into this, we are, you know, we've gone down that rabbit hole. And maybe the best thing that we can do is maybe we look at another, have you on again somewhere in the future, and you can keep us updated. You know, whatever you're willing to do, you know, let's just take it from there. But you also have here the new economy online that you want to make sure that I mentioned. So as we're coming close to the end, what is this new economy online that you wanted to make sure we got out there today?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny, like being in the education system in the public schools and getting my master's, and you know, we have a lot of good teachers, a lot of good administrators, but if we're going to be brutally honest, our education system is a disaster. It has failed millions and millions of students, whether they're not learning or even if they did get good grades. They're going to colleges where prices are inflated. They pay God knows what, over $100,000. They get into debt right away. And then they come out. And I remember this is probably like around the early 2000s, 2004. My buddy went into business and like people were getting out of college and they like would become Walgreens assistant managers making $12 an hour.
Right.
Like,
okay.
Like that was the job available with a BA at the time. So I think we need to have a real conversation about where the world is going. And then you throw AI in there. And now who knows? Like I went from telling my boys like, hey, get into coding. And now it's like, well, AI does that easy.
Yeah. But I guess there's still the need because I've got some friends that are programmers and coders, and yes, AI does it, but they have to be the human because
correct.
AI is not perfect, and if they write the wrong bit of code, can totally change the direction. But yeah, you're right. You know, AI is doing more and more to make life. I don't know if it's simpler, but you can get into things. So you were talking AI. I didn't mean to interrupt,
yeah.
But you know,
yeah.
Continue.
So you'll still need coders, but just a lot less of them because a lot of the heavy work can be done by AI. So yes, I think the people embracing AI and learning it will probably be the ones that are winning. But even beyond that, I mean, just you know, I still tell when new people come to Greenville, like you have to tell the story of Electrolux.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right.
Yes.
You know, the manufacturing base of America being hollowed out because of NAFTA and the World Trade Organization. And that still affects like Montcalm County and, you know, this whole area.
Oh,
West
I was
Michigan.
Here. I remember it. You know, I was working for them at the time.
Oh, okay.
You know, that was one of my customers that all of a sudden went,
yep,
bye. but yet, you know, that's life. You know, things change.
Yep.
You know, things always change. So with real money and the direction that you're going with things, what can we leave our viewers and our listeners with today that you want to make sure we get out there? And Mike, if you would like, I would love to have you back on later and we can continue this because I don't think it's a one topic and move on.
There's layers here.
There's many layers. And if you're willing, I'd like to have you come back later and we can follow up. But if we were going to leave people with something right now, what would it be from you?
Yeah. So when we look at the economy today, right, we have people not really getting married, people not having children. Being able to buy a house is almost an impossibility now. And so you get a lot of negativity from the news. And I think this is the greatest time to be alive. I think there is so much opportunity right now in the online space and with AI, with video production. But the problem is you have to be an entrepreneur, right? It's not guaranteed.
Right.
But that kind of past American dream is dead. You know, it doesn't exist anymore. So I think people just really need to embrace it. Get into video production and online. It could be faceless if you're not, you know, if you're a shy person.
Yeah.
But there's so many ways to make money online. Yes, there are a lot of scams and things to avoid, but I think this is the greatest time to be alive. You know, you have to be focused, you have to be independent, you have to be self-driven. But again, that's why I talk about mindset so much, because that is the one thing I think that holds people back, mm-hmm. is their mindset and then perspective, right? If you live in America, I don't care where you're at, your condition, you're in the top 3% of the world. So there's always somebody or an area that has it worse than you. And you have to choose to look at the good in life, not just woe is me, you know, so-and-so is in office, the debt's here, inflation's here, gas is $5, whatever it is. No matter where you're at, you can choose to look at the negative or you can choose to focus on the positive.
And take so that's that energy
yes,
and go positive with it.
Yes. Perspective and gratitude is kind of what I talk a lot about right now.
I've fallen flat on my face before,
oh.
and I probably will again. You know, it's just how do you get up and you keep going.
And last thing I'll say is another big lesson I learned, and maybe this is what we could talk about next time, is to embrace the pain. That's one of my favorite sayings too, is that all these, we didn't get into it, but like a lot of bad things kept happening over and over again. And it was, I remember kind of like laughing with God of like, okay, I get it. You're teaching me a lesson. I have to embrace the pain. And I started enjoying and welcoming bad things happening. And that's when my life completely changed.
Yeah. And with my retirement from the school and the career center, I too put a lot of it on faith, because I felt that he put me there in 2020. I wasn't looking for it. And then dealt me a different hand in 2026 that I had to make a choice. And, you know, I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he says, did you get mad? Did you get angry? And I said, no, I did not. I said, because I chose to look at it from the positive.
Exactly.
And, you know, my faith tells me, yeah. Now, I had to roll up my sleeves, and you know, I kind of joke around that I'm now going to say, you know, what do I want to be when I grow up? You know, and but that mindset, and I'd love to have you back, and we can talk about going through the pain, because that definitely helped you. This might be a little pain moment for me, but it's only temporary.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to go through. So on that note, you can follow the Discover Mott.com podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. You can also catch us on Pandora, Apple Podcast, and iHeart, and discovermottcompodcast.com. If you've got an idea, if you've lived here, you run a business, you're a community member, you know some history, you are in a nonprofit, you want to get your story out, give me a call at 231-250-9624, 231-250-9624. I would love to have you sit right where Mike's been sitting and share your story so that we can get it out to.
The Discover Mott.com podcast is produced by content creator Dwayne Weed at DW Video and Multimedia LLC at dwvideo.com or call 231-250-9624.